Hi,
I'm Sasha.
And I'm Ezra.
And welcome to another episode of our podcast
concerning climate.
Today, we have Lilith Clark. She is one of the leaders of the New Mexico Youth Climate Strike, and we are very excited to have her.
So, without further ado,
let's get on to the episode.
Stay tuned.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having me. I've been really excited for this.
Oh, great. Yay. Let's get started. So what are some things that you do to help the environment and with what organization?
So I'll start with the second half of the question. So the organization I'm with is called New Mexico Youth Climate Strike. And it kind of started in like a really funny way that I won't get too much into, but pretty much it's very, very small, just me and like a couple people that I know that do it. But we work with other organizations in Albuquerque, like the 350 New Mexico. And then we work with like Sunrise Northern New Mexico, which is like, if you guys are familiar with the geography of New Mexico, that's like the Los Alamos, Taos, parts of Santa Fe region. And then we also work with a group called UNM LEAF that is trying to get the University of New Mexico to divest their from fossil fuels. And then the first half of your question was, what do I do to help the environment? So personally, it's a bit hard. Like obviously like recycling type stuff, but and I'm not really driving anywhere right now except to gymnastics because of like there's nowhere to drive to right now. But really like not using straws, you know, that kind of thing. But really personally, there's not a whole lot we can do that makes as significant of an impact as things that companies can do and things that like the government can do. So like obviously personally I tried to do some stuff, but really I think the biggest impact I have on the environment is what I'm doing through these organizations.
What is your definition of climate change?
That's a really good question. I think the definition for me of climate change is obviously it's different than global warming because the scientists use, or not even scientists, like people use global warming for a number of years, but then it's like that's actually not accurate because parts of the world will get warmer, but parts will just kind of get different. So obviously, like when all the icebergs begin to melt, and they're already beginning to melt, we're seeing more hurricanes and we're seeing more flooding. That for me is the real like climate changing like before our eyes, really. And just like here in New Mexico, there's more rivers that are drying up and our winters are shorter and our summers are longer and hotter. So yeah, that's what it means to me.
So what are your thoughts on nuclear power?
Okay, my thoughts on nuclear power are probably a lot different than a lot of other people's. And I know a lot of people within like climate change organizations are pushing for it as an alternative to like fossil fuels and just oil, gas, all that type of thing. I personally don't like it as much. Like obviously it's still better than oil and gas, but I don't think that we should just turn to that and make that our next thing, because here in New Mexico, there's a lot of uranium, but it's all on like native reservations pretty much. So if we were to go and get the uranium, that's just further damaging like communities that are already so at risk and they're already being harmed by uranium mining. And just, I also like, I know that nuclear power is mostly safe, but that's also partly because it's just, there's a lot of research that's been done with it. And I think that it could be good, but just it's still not as safe as just like putting up a solar panel, you know, like I think that we probably will need it, but I think that it should be as the least amount as possible. So, yeah.
What are some experiences you've had with the New Mexico Youth Climate Strike?
Well, okay, so last May, two Mays ago, I think, last May, sometime, It was the freshman year of high school. We organized a walkout, and then again, September of that year. So yeah, last May. And then last September, we organized an even bigger walkout. Obviously, it wasn't just us that it's a lot. We worked with an organization in town called Fight for Our Lives. We worked with 350 New Mexico. We worked with just a ton of people. And it was the one in September was so successful. And I was so happy with how it turned out. We got the mayor of Albuquerque to declare a climate emergency. And we got our two senators, Martin Heinrich and Tom Udall, to sign on to the Green New Deal that day. So that was just such an amazing feeling to say, oh, wow, this is, we're actually like doing something. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
Do you have any advice for other kids who wish to get involved with activism?
Yeah.
Activism specifically.
I think one thing is look for organizations that already exist, because when I started doing this, I didn't realize that there were already so many organizations in place, and it's a lot harder to start something from the ground up. And I didn't even we didn't even technically start this from the ground up. The people who ran New Mexico Climate Strike before me lived in Santa Fe, but the girl who was running it graduated, and she's in college in like Washington, I think now, or she might still be in New Mexico, I'm not sure, but she graduated, and she, like, I applied for the position through the United States Climate Strike and got it that way. With that organization doesn't exist anymore now, it's just the chapters. But yeah, I think look for organizations that exist is number one. And number two is research really what your state government is doing, not what the federal government is doing. Because right now the federal government's not doing anything, but state governments can do a lot. And really, you can contact your state legislatures, and they do not get nearly as many people contacting them as your senators and representatives. So if you just look up, this is my city council person, this is my state senator, contact them and say, what are you doing in our state to work with climate change? And then reach out to these groups and say, what are you looking for in local legislature? And then look at what schools and universities around you are doing, because that's also a big element, because those are very big institutions as well. So I think looking into those areas is a lot more productive than just like yelling at a wall of the federal government.
How do you envision New Mexico going towards a more green future, and how can that be applied to other states?
I think New Mexico, well, first, we're a very unique state because we're very, very large, but we don't have a big population. So I think that makes it pretty easy for us to transition. Unfortunately, we also are pretty much our entire economy relies on oil and gas. So that's where the difficulties come in. But I think a lot of people aren't being imaginative enough when they think, how are we going to transition this? So New Mexico just passed a bill called the Energy Transition Act, which, although it's not as progressive as we'd like the timeline is just too long. It's taking too long to transition off of oil and gas. It's still a really, really good start. So you can look at that and say, this can be applied to this state. This section can be applied to this state. And then also, New Mexico has such a big capacity for wind energy and solar energy. We're like ranked second and fifth in those. I think I could be wrong on that. But it's just like we have so many resources here. And then our economy as a state is not good. And I think that's partly because we rely on oil and gas so much. There's this thing called I forget the exact name, but it's an economic bubble. And it's going to burst soon, because soon it's going to be too expensive to keep drilling this. And there's not going to be as great of returns. And we're just going to be running out of these supplies. It's like, it's just the supply and demand of oil and gas is just going to get way out of like flux, it might be the word. I'm not exactly sure. But it's just going to soon be way more economically smart to just start using oil and gas. And I think once New Mexico does that, it's going to be so beneficial to us. And then you have states like they're really small, and they're like, how are we going to get this thing? Well, we already have contracts with like Texas, which obviously has a big capacity for wind and solar energy, but we have contracts with Texas to give them oil and gas. We just say, how about we make wind and solar contracts, you know? So I think it's really not too hard to be like we're stuck in this cycle of just only using oil and gas. But I think that politicians just need to be more creative with it and be like, this is how we're going to do it. And there's a lot of other countries too that have done it. We don't have to just look within the United States is the other thing.
How can we and like everyone able stop politicians from avoiding the climate reality and acting?
Okay. That's a big question. So I think we have to like, one thing is we have to just take a step back and say, why are these politicians denying it so much? Like, and I think COVID and climate change are good kind of parallels, because we had all these politicians saying, don't wear a mask. It's a hoax. It's fake. And then they got the shot sooner than like most Americans. Like, they know it's a real thing. They just don't care that it's affecting these people. So I think we have to stop acting like politicians, or not, some politicians do care about their constituents, but others are really just looking out for their own interests and the interests of their friends and family, not for their constituents. And one reason that they're denying climate change so vehemently is because they're being paid off by the oil and gas industries. So I think one of the biggest ways we get them to stop denying it is getting money out of politics, and getting fossil fuel money specifically out of politics. So one thing that the New Mexico climate strike is doing or planning on doing in the future, because technically aren't doing it yet, is there's a special election coming up in New Mexico, because Deb Haaland was nominated to be Secretary of the Interior. And so once she's confirmed, there's going to be a race for her congressional seat. We're going to be asking all the politicians not to take any money from the industry. And then if they do, we're going to ask that they donate it back into the community. Some of the people running have already said that they won't be taking any money. So I think that that's a good first step to get politicians, at least, to stop denying it. As for getting them to say, here's the actual changes that we're going to make, I think that's a bigger problem. But I think there's this idea that the Sunrise Movement, the National Sunrise Movement, has of making a federal office about climate change. I think they're calling it the Climate Mobilization Office. Once the federal government has a area specifically devoted to climate change, and then people are going to have to be writing bills that budget and they allocate a certain amount of money to this, they really won't be able to ignore it if that Climate Mobilization Office becomes a thing, which I'm very hopeful that it will. I think there's a possibility that it will. So I think once we just get these, like, they're almost just legislative changes within government, I think politicians will just begin to say, we have to do something now. We can't pretend that it doesn't exist.
If you were to give one piece of advice and or information to us and everyone listening, what would it be?
Okay, that's kind of tough. I'm going to give two. So I think one is do as much research as you can, like as much as possible. When I was starting, I'm still learning new things every single day. Like, I'm not trying to say that I'm the expert on any of this, because I'm really not. I'm sure that even some of the statistics I've said today, people listening are going to be like, that's outdated, you know? So just like, and especially if you're starting, just read as much as you can and try to read from something unbiased. And then even when you're reading from something unbiased, you recognize the biases. So for example, like, the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos. They're not going to be critical of Amazon, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's newspapers and they're all subsidized by the oil and gas industry. So you have to do research from them. And then you also have to think critically about the things that you're reading as you're reading it. So I think that's number one, is just do as much reading and research as you can. But advice number two is just, even if it's a very small way to get involved, if you can, if you have the energy and the time and the resources to get involved, just like, even if it's just saying, okay, I'm just going to send this politician an email every single day. And I'm just going to, like, you know, change it a bit so it gets through the spam filters or whatever. Like, that's getting involved. Or if you're going to say, you know what, I have a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of motivation, I'm going to work with this organization in town, then, or like this, or I'm going to donate money to this mutual aid organization, then that's, like, totally awesome too. But, like, however you get involved is still getting involved. So those are my two advice. Do research, and then if you can, get involved in some way in your community.
So thank you so much, Lilith. This means a lot to us.
Yeah, no problem. This is so fun.
Thanks again, Lilith, for being a part of our episode. It really means so much to us.
We really enjoyed this and we hope you did too.
And remember to do good things for the environment.
You also can follow us on our Instagram at Concerning Climate Podcast.
We hope you have a great day. See you later.
Bye.